A wastewater plant project in Skagway falls behind schedule, and a fishing safety program may be losing funding. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Skagway officials are considering their options in regards to a wastewater treatment plant project that has gone off schedule. A retrofit of the plant in Skagway was scheduled to be completed by March of this year. The project includes upgrading some of the treatment plant's equipment and processes. Skagway has for several years had difficulty getting proper treatment for its wastewater, due in large part to the huge influx of summer visitors. Early last year, the town found itself on an Environmental Protection Agency watch list over concerns the wastewater treatment plant may be violating the Clean Water Act. The $6 million plant project was meant to help address those concerns. But last week, the Skagway Assembly received an update on the project from Water Department Superintendent Tim Gladden. He did not mince words when he described, in his opinion, the progress, or lack thereof, of the project. He blamed the contractor, ASRC McGraw Constructors of Sitka, for the delays.
If you want to look for cause and effect, really what it comes down to is unfortunately, we've ended up with a contractor on this job that seems to have no commitment or previous experience to it. He doesn't know what he's doing.
The project was meant to be completed while the old system could still process wastewater using the town's incinerator to dispose of waste solids. But when the incinerator was down for a few weeks this summer, that caused even more problems. Gladden said at one point waste solids were stored in a truck near the plant.
We've had backup of solids, both in the sludge end and the screenings end. We had to stockpile in a dump truck out on this roadway that the crows were getting into, and there was sewage all over the road, and there's joggers coming by there all the time. That truck was out there for probably 2.5 months, and we just kept filling it up, putting a tarp on it. But the crows find a way in. And it was very offensive to anybody in the neighborhood, in the area. And we were out there trying to disinfect and keep it cleaned up, but birds are birds.
Gladden said during the meeting, at one point during the summer, the effluent output was so bad he was sure it was not up to standard. But Assemblyman Mike Korsmo said a few days after the meeting that the plant was already in violation of some standards.
Because of the way the plant was operating before was actually not compliant, it's not any surprise that until we get this thing running properly that we're not compliant either. So it sounded really bad, but at the same time, it really isn't much different than it has been operating until we get this thing, you know, everything working right and it's working properly. So
McGraw representatives deny the holdup on the project is their fault. Project manager Chris McGraw did not want to comment for this story, but he provided a copy of the letter the company sent the municipality on August 1st. In the letter, McGraw writes that the largest obstacle in the project over the last 2 months has been issues related to the owner, or municipality, furnished equipment that has been out of his control. He said delays have also been the result of design-related changes and numerous change orders that total close to $200,000, many of which McGraw has yet to be paid for, it wrote. Assembly members at last week's meeting suggested looking at the project contract to see if penalties for non-performance could be levied against McGraw, or if a change in contractor representation was possible. Borough Manager Tom Smith said in an email Wednesday that the municipality's engineer and officials are in dialogue with the contractor to, quote, resolve and encourage them to complete an acceptable project. The Skagway Small Boat Harbor project can continue after a judge on Tuesday ruled against a company disputing how the bid for the project was awarded. After 2 days of hearings, a Superior Court judge in Juneau lifted a temporary restraining order and denied a preliminary injunction requested by Western Marine Construction in Seattle. The company filed a complaint with the court after the Skagway Assembly awarded the nearly $10 million harbor project to local company Hamilton Construction. The municipality in early August opened the bids for the harbor improvement project. Western Marine had the lowest bid at about $9.5 million. Hamilton Construction, the only local company among the bidders, was the third lowest bidder at just over $9.7 million. Skagway officials met in a special meeting on August 7th to discuss the bids. Skagway code allows for a local bidder preference to Skagway companies, meaning if a local company offers a bid within 5% of the lowest bid, they can be awarded the contract. The assembly discussed that there was some confusion about if the preference would apply in this case, since $650,000 of the project funding was coming from the Denali Commission, an independent federal agency designed to help with Alaska infrastructure projects. Any project that uses federal funds is not allowed to use local preference in awarding bids. But the lowest bids came in under the $10.5 million the municipality estimated it needed for the project. The assembly said that meant the federal monies from the Denali Commission would not be needed. And if only state and local money would be used, then Skagway was free to use the local preference. But Western Marine disagreed with the application of the local preference and said it was the lowest bidder for the project. The court granted a temporary restraining order on the project until after this week's hearings. The court said Tuesday that Western Marine can continue protesting the bid process as laid out in Skagway Municipal Code. Skagway officials did not want to comment further on the judge's order, but they confirmed Western Marine had filed a protest with the municipality under the procedure laid out in code. Western Marine representatives said they did not want to comment for this story. A commercial fishing safety program that's been a huge success in Alaska is turning its focus to commercial fleets in the Gulf of Mexico and the East Coast. But expanding requires money, and as KUCB's Lauren Rosenthal reports, NIOSH may not have much of that left in the future.
When NIOSH started investigating injuries to Alaskan seiners a few years ago, they found a common theme. Researchers were able to trace countless instances of crushing, amputation, and drowning, all back to getting tangled up in the net.
They get caught up and wrapped, and once they get wrapped, they can't reach the controls to shut down the winch.
That's Chelsea Woodward, one of four researchers on NIOSH's commercial fishing safety team. Woodward is the engineer. It was his job to design a simple tool based on NIOSH's SANER research. He came up with a design for an emergency kill switch that would quickly stop the net from winding up. The fishermen who tested the kill switch on their SANE boats liked it, and that kill switch is now sold commercially in a kit. Woodward says Alaska fishermen are ideal research subjects. They're willing to collaborate and provide input on NIOSH's research and gear designs.
This is a good place because of the understanding the commercial fishermen have with NIOSH. There's a better understanding that NIOSH is not regulatory. We have their best interest in mind.
But Woodward says fishermen outside Alaska don't always understand that NIOSH is a research agency. It doesn't deal in law enforcement, and it's totally separate from OSHA, which can hand out fines for safety violations. That's just one reason why NIOSH may face an uphill battle as it embarks on an eastbound safety campaign. NIOSH wants to start sharing its research on commercial fishing safety in Alaska with fishermen in the Gulf of Mexico in the Atlantic Ocean. Eventually, Woodward says he'd like to see his safety tools on those vessels, too. But the commercial fishing safety team is already stretched thin. Bob Kehoe is the executive director of the Persane Vessel Owners Association in Seattle. Kehoe worked with NIOSH researchers a few years back when he invited them to give a presentation at one of his conferences.
That is a struggle for them. You know, they try to do with a limited budget to go out and travel and get to know groups and fishermen themselves. But that is that takes time, and, you know, you can only reach so many people.
NIOSH is committed to its Alaska fishing research, and they'll keep that up even as they start expanding to the Gulf and East Coast this fall. They may hire a few temporary assistants to help out, but Kehoe's right. The NIOSH team's time is at a premium, and so is money. NIOSH's budget has been threatened several times over the years, and it's happening again. The White House has released a proposed 2013 budget that cuts all money for NIOSH research on commercial fishing, forestry, and agriculture. Woodward says his agency is taking this threat seriously. But for now, the federal budget still isn't finalized. And until NIOSH knows exactly how much money they have to work with, they're pushing forward.
We'll work as hard as diligent as we can to continue. And because good things are coming from it, we have to have the faith that the powers that be will recognize that and the rest of it will fall into place.
In Unalaska, I'm Lauren Rosenthal.
And here's our little spot of fun news for the week. Lots of wealthy and famous people from around the world travel to Alaska, especially during the summer. Most of them fly under the radar, coming up on cruise ships or private expeditions. But sometimes they arrive not so inconspicuously, like on Tuesday, when one of the largest private yachts in the world anchored up just outside the Haines Harbor. The motor yacht Luna is just over 370 feet long. It was built just 2 years ago and is owned by Russian billionaire Roman Abramovich. He was at one point listed by Forbes as the richest man in Russia, but with a net worth of $12.1 billion as of this year, his ranking has slipped to the ninth richest man in his home country. He made his fortune in oil and export deals in the early 1990s and has stakes in steel and mining companies. He owns the UK's Chelsea soccer team, as well as another vessel listed as the world's largest mega yacht, the Eclipse. But he comes from humble beginnings. The billionaire, earlier in his business career, sold rubber ducks out of his Moscow apartment. And there's lots of speculation in his biography on Forbes and other sources about his various business dealings over the years and connections to Russian politics. But something else that's more well documented is his work in the Russian Far East. He served as governor in the area of Russia closest to Alaska from 2000 to 2008. It's estimated he spent more than $1.3 billion of his own money to improve living standards, school, and housing in the region. No word if Abramovich was actually on his yacht during its stop in Haines, and hopefully that's enough facts and reporting to satiate the curious folks that spotted the Luna in front of town. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.